The reading today is from Isaiah chapter 9, and it's page 658 in the Pew Bibles. We're reading from verse 2 to verse 7 of chapter 9. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. Shouldn't have started there, but never mind. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke and burdened them, that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning. I've never preached from up here. It's a long way up, I must admit. I'm not quite sure whether I like it up here. I think I actually prefer to be a little lower down. But I would not want Dave to think I was usurping his place while he's away on holiday. So I just wanted to thank the musicians for leading us, and for Joe as well. You know, it may well be that what Joe said is all you need to hear. So if you want to switch off during the sermon, that is fine. It really is fine, because I think it may well be that for many of you, you just need to hear that. Slow down. I don't know what you say to me, but you know what my life is like. There's no way I can slow down in December. There's so much to do. I'm sure every one of us can say that. But listen to what Joe reminded us. Maybe you just need to slow down. I certainly do. And also she's reminded us about looking forward. I've looked forward to this sermon, because to be absolutely honest, the last two sermons that I have was on Ecclesiastes. And I know that every letter and every word we find in God's scriptures is so valuable. But the last two sermons, one on suffering and one on the inevitability of death, did not fill me with joy. But this one really does. Don't you love the word that we see today? Unto us a child is born. I probably hear it every Christmas, and yet I never, ever lose the joy of listening to those words. The people walking in darkness would see a great light. But people living in deep darkness, on them a new dawn is going to rise. that people living in sorrow would be able to rejoice, that people living under the burden will be freed, that blood-stained battle clothes will be burned. And how would this all happen? Through the birth of a child and the gift of a son. So what's in a name? Well, I've worked in the pharmaceutical industry for many years, so I've lived with extremely difficult names. Some of the drug names, even now, I cannot pronounce. They seem to get more and more difficult. And when I started working for Glaxo, I worked on a drug called beclomethasone dipropionate. I'll ask you afterwards whether you can remember what it is. But it's a steroid, and it's been around for quite a long time. And I developed a formulation which was going to be used for treating very, very young babies and newborns and premature babies who had breathing problems. And then later on, I developed another product which was going to be used for people with allergies and allergic rhinitis. We called it a simple name, Beconase, and it's a very useful product. Now, we never called it beclomethasone dipropionate. We called it BDP, just for short. Well, I hadn't worked for Glaxo for very long before my first son was born. And we didn't have many problems thinking about what we would call him, because we, straight away, we had some real favorites. So we called him Benjamin. We loved Benjamin. And then we called him David, after Anne's dad and Powell. BDP. When I went to work the first time after he was born, they would not believe me that we had not called him after this drug name. I just never thought about it. Never entered my mind for a second. But he was BDP. So what's in a name? Wonderful Counselor. Mighty God. Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. This is what this child will be known as. Is it wonderful? Counselor? Or wonderful counselor? I'm not a scholar. I can't read the Greek and the originals, but I'm told that the Bible, the originals, didn't have chapters and verses. Neither did it have punctuation in the same way that we have. So, isn't it marvelous? You remember those English grammar day, you know, writing the essay and thinking, I really ought to pop in a full stop and a comma occasionally. And that, those really difficult ones. Can you remember what are the rules for colons and semicolons? Well, you'll be glad I'm not going to preach you a sermon about grammar, thankfully. But I believe that Jesus is wonderful. And I'm sure that he is a counselor. And I'm all certain that he's a wonderful counselor. So, I don't think it actually matters. So wonderful. Perhaps a word that's used and overused. Maybe we use it for many different things. But what fills your mind with wonder? It wasn't long ago that Anne and I went out to Japan, about 3 weeks ago. And we flew out to Japan. And after an 11-hour flight, I looked out of the left-hand side of the plane. We were just beginning to come towards Tokyo, not very far. And this doesn't seem to be moving. This is what I saw out of the plane's window. That's Mount Fuji, about 4,000 meters. And it looked just like that. The lower slopes still brown and green, the upper slopes covered with snow. What a gorgeous sight. And then last week, Anne and I went for a walk with friends in London, and we went to Wimbledon Common, and then we walked over into Richmond Park. And that's what we saw. The autumn leaves still there, and the deer you could actually walk up to the deer. You could get within 5 or 6 feet, as long as you were careful. And they would just stand there and watch you. What an amazing sight. And then yesterday we went into London and we climbed the top of the Shard, 72 floors up. And as you look down, and there was the Thames, you could hear it snaking away in the distance. What a gorgeous sight. Those things fill me with wonder. Or maybe it's music. I love music. And a few years ago, we went to the Royal Albert Hall, and I heard a tribute band to Pink Floyd. Now, some of you probably know nothing about Pink Floyd, but I thought they were a wonderful band. And just hearing some of those guitar chords, I heard them this morning with Pete, that's what, you know, great, absolutely, fill my mind with wonder. But I've been to the Royal Albert Hall many times, and again, I went there to hear the Messiah, because I love many different types of music. And I wonder, can you remember the Messiah and some of those words? Of course, taken from Isaiah chapter 9. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And then 200 voices, absolutely bursting out, wonderful counselor. You know, the hairs on your head, back of your head just come to life, and it's such an amazing, amazing thing. So what fills you with wonder? Or what do you think about wonderful? Maybe breathtaking, mind-blowing, incredible, incomprehensible, beyond understanding. Remember these parents of Samson, parents who had never had children and were desperate to have children, and one day the angel of the Lord went to and saw Samson's mum and told her that she was going to have a baby, and a very special baby. And then later on, Samson's father, Manoah, met up with the angel, and he said, "What's your name?" And the angel said, "Why do you ask me, since my name is Wonderful?" And the meaning there is, since it's incomprehensible, you would not be able to understand it. And so when it comes to something that is wonderful, it is just wow. You lose that. We talk about a wow factor. I wonder this Christmas, as we come towards it, as we wait for it, whether, there's the glitter and there's all the fun, and I love the lights, but have we lost that original wonder of the Lord Jesus Christ? Or has Christmas just become ordinary? Something that happens each year, something that we go through. Well, let's really get that wonder back into our minds. So wonderful. But he's also a counselor. The wonderful counselor. Now, of course, in English, we have different ideas of what it means to be a counselor. It could be somebody who just listens and understands us. And professional counselors do that. A few years ago, I was really struggling at work a bit and really under quite a lot of stress. And I spoke to one or two people in the church here, and they said, you know, why don't you go and see a counsellor and just spend some time with them? And I thought, yeah, that's probably good advice. So, of course, I had this picture that I would go to this person, and they would just tell me, and they would tell me what to do and how to sort my life out. Well, of course, that's not actually how professional counsellors work. What I was then told was that I would have to, for an hour session, probably spend an hour talking and telling this counsellor about me. I was going to have to talk for an hour. Now, I can talk here. I could talk for an hour. I won't, I promise you. But one-to-one is a completely different matter. Even the person who knows me best, if Anne and I go out for a meal, we, halfway through the meal, Anne will, at some point, probably, right, your turn to talk now. What happens? I start, my pressure goes up, my heart rate starts, and my mind just goes a complete blank. Doesn't believe me, she never believes me, but it just goes complete blank. So the thought of going to a professional counsellor, to actually help my stress levels, I thought that was going to make me even stressful. But actually they're very good, and they know their job, and I was amazed I could actually talk to somebody for an hour non-stop, and the time flew by. Just amazing. So a counsellor is certainly someone who listens and understands us. Let's go to the counsellor and talk to him. And in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, we're told to approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us at the proper time. Jesus is one who listens, who hears us, who hears our prayers, and he is certainly that sort of counsellor. But also, we can think of a counsellor as someone who represents us in court. If you're a fan of courtroom dramas, you'll think about counsel for the prosecution, but also counsel for the defence. And one day, as I stand in front of a holy God, and I will have nothing to defend myself with, Jesus Christ will be my counsel. He will be my advocate. And he will say to his father, look, I know Grandpa has made an absolute mess of his life. I know that he has a list of sins a mile long. I know that he's failed you miserably. I know that he's done so much that's wrong. But you see these wounds in my hands. You see these wounds in my feet and side. I have already been punished for what he's done. And so we have a counsellor who stands in the throne of God and speaks up for us. Have you ever taken that opportunity? Have you ever put your faith in Jesus Christ? Because he is the only one who can do that for us. He's the only one that can make us clean and make us pure and present us before a holy God. But a counsellor, and I think this is the real focus, the wonderful counsellor, is somebody who guides. Somebody who teaches, someone who advises. And as I look through the scriptures, there's some wonderful passages about this counsellor. In Isaiah chapter 11, we read, the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Wonderful counsellor. In Isaiah chapter 28, said, all this comes from the Lord Almighty, whose plan is wonderful, whose wisdom is magnificent. This counsellor is so wise. In Psalm 73, God reminds the writer, I am always with you. And then the writer responds, you hold me by my right hand, You guide me with your counsel, and afterwards you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. A wonderful counselor. Well-known passage in Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. This counselor will direct us and can direct us. Remember the story of Job. Job had gone through so much suffering, and at the end, Job attempts to justify himself before God. And now he faces this Almighty God. And God says to Job, "Who is this that darkens my counsel with words without knowledge?" And Job replies, "I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful to know." And then that passage before Jesus went to the cross, and he spent time with his closest friends. And he said to them, "God will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. I have been your counselor, but I'm going to send you another counselor, the Holy Spirit." And then in Romans 11, "God's judgments are unsearchable. Who has known his mind or been his counselor?" So, at Christmas, we've already reminded, come to God's Son. Let your mind fill with wonder this year. Fill with wonder at this baby born in Bethlehem, in such poverty, in such obscurity, and yet one for whom the whole world was going to change, and he was going to change everything forever. And yes, seek counsel and guidance. Seek counsel from your friends. Seek counsel from fellow Christians. Been reminded there will be people here after the service who would love to pray with you. David, Penny and Hilda there. And maybe you just need to talk something over and pray with them. And please do that. But above all, seek counsel and guidance from the wonderful counselor. The one whose understanding is beyond us. And perhaps you're going through a real issue at the moment. You really don't know how to move forward. Yes, share it with others, but seek the counsel of the wonderful counselor. So unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And we're going to look into some of the other amazing titles, but this morning, praise God for the wonderful counselor. Shall we pray? Father, thank you for this time of Advent. And as we wait and prepare our hearts, we pray that indeed we will worship you. We will spend time with you. We will take time out of such a busy life and a busy world just to think about you. And Lord, indeed, you are wonderful. You are the wonderful one. You are incomprehensible in many ways to us, and yet you have demonstrated, you have become human. You have shown yourself to us through Jesus Christ. And indeed, he is wonderful. But Lord, over the next few weeks, help us to seek the counsel of him. Help us to seek his guidance. His guidance for our lives, for our decisions, for this church, for our families and friends. And Lord, we know that you can change our lives around. So we thank you for this wonderful counselor. In Jesus' name, amen.